Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living Center Live, and I was thinking that we're preparing for the show today. As a parent, what is it that you need from your kids, your adult children now? We're talking about the adult relationship with your adult son and daughter. And maybe as an adult son or daughter, what do you need from your parents? Maybe there needs to be a reset in the relationship, and maybe you've done that. I'll tell you what we'd like to do here from our Intentional Living Center is help you in the next 28 minutes to hit that reset button and get some really practical stuff that can help you maybe reconnect with an adult son or daughter or vice versa, because it's such an important part of our life. And I hope that we can get some really practical help out there at 888-888-1717. Miss Amy's taking the calls today. 888-888-1717. Love to hear from you. Proverbs reminds us in chapter 4 that, in fact, it was very clear. Solomon says, "Listen, my son, listen to your father's instruction. Pay attention, gain understanding, get some sound learning so you don't forsake my teaching." And I think many parents relate to that. I'm talking about kind of healthy relationships that over the years between children and parents, now adults, and we want to reconnect. Maybe some things didn't transition so easily. And I think when I talk to young adults or adults in relation to their parents, they tell me things like, "Boy, I wish my parents respected me more. I wish they'd give me a little space, not be so critical, either passively or aggressively, when it comes to the choices I've made. Even though the choices you made may have been stupid." Come on, let's just be real honest. You want your parents to support you. You don't want to be compared to the other siblings. Why can't you be like, and you fill in the name, right? Basically, approval. I think young adults grow up and they want to have that kind of support from their parents without criticism. And on the other side, I think parents, come on, those of us who are parents and we've had adult sons or daughters, we want to be respected too for our experiences. You know, I mean, if we're worthy of our experiences being shared with our kids, we want to be available. We want to be acknowledged, I think, sometimes, not to be forgotten. You know, it's easy for the young people to grow up and go do their own thing, and mom and dad are thinking, "Hello," you know, not to be forgotten. And maybe, and this is something that, come on, parents, sometimes we just need to be forgiven for our own stupidity, things that we've done and that won't be held against us over the years in a relationship, and just to be heard. Just to be heard. Sometimes that's a landmine, because many times to be heard means that we want to butt in and say things that we should not say, because it's really not our business. All right, so here's the deal. What have you learned? What's one thing that's helped you reset in a relationship? Parents to adult sons and daughters and vice versa. 888-888-1717. Our caller from Phoenix, I think, sets the stage of what can happen that can be problematic in a relationship. Take a listen.
My name is Tama Lynn. I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm calling regarding knowing how to be a parent of three adult daughters, age 19, 23, and 24. The 24-year-old is in the process of getting her own place, and she's already graduated from college, and she's on good track with the Lord. The 23-year-old is actually my stepdaughter, and she moved out against our wishes to go live with her boyfriend a couple of years ago, and there was a lot of conflict and hurt over that. And then she recently broke up with him 3 months before they were supposed to get married, and she moved back home with us. And so now, after living on her own and now coming back to live with us, we're trying to figure out what's reasonable to kind of have a contract of her living with us. She thinks it's none of our business to be involved with her finances, yet she's in debt and we're letting her live with us for next to nothing. So we're just not sure how to handle that. And then the 19-year-old is about to graduate from high school, but has ADD and struggles with a lot of keeping things on track and staying up with things, although she's really smart and she's very resistant to input as well. And so we're just not sure how much we're supposed to get involved and how much we're supposed to let them do their own thing. So anyway, would love any feedback you can get. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I'll tell you what, if I could answer that question and we could just give you a pill and solve that problem, I would be a very wealthy person, right? And the problem would be gone. But the reality is we're talking about human beings, and each of us is different. You know, we teach the principles, but the fact is, train up in the child, your child, in the way he or she should go, because there's a uniqueness. And sometimes we got to get back to the understanding that in this reset process, we need to understand the unique issues and challenges of each child, and in terms have a relationship that's built around a lot of respect, which sometimes can be really difficult. I'll tell you, it's the circle of control again. We can control certain things, other things we can't control. And knowing the difference is huge. All right, you're a parent. What have you learned? One thing that's helped you, maybe you had to reset in a relationship with your adult son or daughter, or vice versa. Maybe you're an adult now and you say, hey, here's something I've had to learn. I want to share with others about this important dynamic. There are six common sources of tension between parents and adult children. We're going to get to those today as well. Join us at 888-888-1717. Let's go to Susan in Michigan. What needs to be reset in your relationship, Susan?
Well, amongst many things, I would like respect for my daughter. I have an only child, and she's 42, and I just feel like she treats everybody so much better than me. You know, she kind of talks down to me sometimes. She doesn't have patience with me, and I just don't know what to do about it. But
what have you done?
You know, I would never have been able to get away with these things with my mom. So
what have you done? What have you said? Anything?
Well, and I've said things to her before, you know, like, you know, hey, don't yell at me. I'm your mom, you know, and things like that. And I think she just takes me for granted, I guess, that I'm just always going to be there.
Yeah. And you know what? You're not always going to be there. And maybe that's part of it. You know, the dynamic, I think, that occurs so often, Susan, in a relationship is children grow up in the home and they just expect, you know, dinner's going to be on the table, the school's going to be okay, the air conditioning's going to be working, cars are going to be there, I can go to and play games and do different things. And then when I become an adult, it's the same kind of thing. I can just ignore. I mean, how many kids? Come on. The Bible says they will rise up and call you blessed. Maybe you're not experiencing that. How many kids? Come on. How many 15-year-olds rise up and call you blessed, or 8-year-olds or 7-year-olds or a 6-month-old? And I think as a child or as a growing up in a home, understanding that we have a unique relationship with our parents, but when we become adults, if we want to be an adult, then we have to start acting like an adult. You know, I think of that quote from C.S. Lewis, who said, 30 was so strange for me. I've really had to come to terms with the fact that I'm now a walking and talking adult. And I think in the relationship with parents, we forget that sometimes. Here's another quote. It says, a child becomes an adult when he or she realizes that they have the right not only to be right, but also to be wrong. I mean, that's an adult. And if we want to have a relationship, we need to act like adults. And I think one of the most dangerous times in a relationship between parent and child is in those adolescent years, when you're letting out more and more of the from control to influence, right? And if we go too fast, that creates frustration for the young person. If we go too slowly, they'll pull at it, tear at it, and sometimes it becomes a destructive part of the relationship. What have you learned? Did you hit the reset? What's working for you? 888-888-1717. Love to hear from you.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media. and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
You've heard me teach on the radio and on this series from month to month that what we believe about intentional living is that it's learning to find and live your purpose every day. And I think we come face to face with the world's philosophy at this point. The world teaches there really is no purpose. There's really no ultimate purpose for marriage. There's no ultimate purpose for finance, no ultimate purpose for our lives, for our families. And that's part of the reason the world, I think, dumbs down all of these sacred things that God has created for our good. So we live in a world that really says there is no purpose, and yet we find in Scripture, and we're going to share some more Scripture here today, that very much reveals the fact that God does have a purpose. And I think if we can settle intentionally in our minds that God has a purpose for our lives, God has a reason for us being here, He has a mission for us to be on this planet, boy, that gives us a great deal of confidence and direction as we move forward.
Making Decisions, it's a featured lesson this month up on our website at theintentionallife.com and going out around the world, and many are listening and learning. And listen, I want to say thanks to our members. You all support making that possible. Your financial support's making a difference. Come join the journey with us. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Love to hear from you.
My Christian daughter-in-law and son, I have no relationship with them. Our relationship ended the day they got married. She hated me ever since the day they got married. I moved out of town. When my husband died in May last year, I called my sons, told them that I really needed them to come to Alabama, and they didn't come. So I haven't spoke to them, have no intentions of speaking to them. I've forgiven them, but quite frankly, every time that I've needed my son to come visit me, there's been a reason from their church that he's been busy at the church and he's a deacon in the church and all this good stuff. But I'm going to tell you, a Christian deacon and a Christian, she's a principal of a Christian school, they shouldn't treat me the way they treated me. They treated me like dirt. And it has really had an impact on me, because if that is what a Christian is, I don't ever want to call myself a Christian. So I just kind of shut down. I don't have anything. I don't say anything to them. I'm done. Bye.
One word. Jennifer said it in my ear, sad. I'll just let that settle in. A lot of dynamics there we don't know about. The past, the history, the growing up, I get it. But boy, we want to live our lives and end our lives and look back and say, you know what? Ought have, should have, could have, on things in that relationship that needed to be handled. Resetting, moving forward, enjoying the relationship with adult children and vice versa. What's worked for you? What's helped you as you think about a reset? 888-888-1717. Susan in Arizona, how are you today?
Hi, Randy. I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And my heart just broke for that. My heart just broke for that woman. That just made me absolutely so sad.
Yeah, it is.
When my kids became adults, and especially when they got married, you know, they had their own life, and I, of course, knew better than them, and I could get myself into trouble because, hey, I'm older, I'm wiser, I've got experience. And then the grandbabies came. And of course I knew more. But I guess one of the biggest things that I've had to learn over the last several years is that this is their family. They get to do their way, their mistakes, and I have to keep the end goal in mind, and that is I want a healthy adult relationship with the kids, and I especially want those grandbabies in my life. Yeah. So whenever my ego starts to take over and my mouth starts to open, I try to be intentional, as you teach all the time, on how I want them to feel respected and that I am here for them, and I have to be intentional on how I express that to them and know, have the wisdom from God when to shut my mouth.
So how do you express it?
My way to success. I always treat them with love and respect. And I'll tell you, they've been, you know, the parents of my grandbabies, my son and his wife, have been really very wise, because what they have done is when they had a problem with, like my son's side of the family, he would call me. And when she had when they had problem with the other side, she would call her family. And my calls used to make me cry when he'd call me and say, "Mom, I love you, but." And I'm like, "Oh, I know what's coming."
That's a great entry, right?
But I have, yes, because I told them, you can tell me anything as long as you tell me in love. Now, in the beginning, I used to cry when I got those calls, because it affected my ego. I can do what I want. I know what's right and wrong. But I've come to get more humble, and God has helped me a great deal to, you know, be in control of my emotions, because you can't trust them. And, you know, try to build them up and let them know that I'm here for them. I'm their support team. And I respect it, and I appreciate open, honest communication. Because otherwise, resentment happens, and I don't want that. I want good relationships.
Absolutely. Really, really important thing that you just said. Your son would call you when you were out of line. And his wife would call her parents when they were out of line. And I'll tell you what happens with that. That immediately in their marriage says, we respect each other. You respect me enough that you'll handle your parents and I'll handle mine in a way that's loving, in a positive. Where I think we get off track is we get disrespectful and we put in all sorts of unnecessary boundaries. Sometimes there needs to be boundaries. I get it. I understand that. We don't need to, I mean, I know that sets some of you off. I get it. But sometimes we put those in place instead of sitting down maturely and trying to deal with a situation. And then if we can't and that doesn't happen, then a boundary needs to be put in place. You know, we're talking about the power of being on the same page. In fact, I want to play a call that we had from Christina. Can we jump down to that, Christina, from Texas, who really, really talked about this, a need for a reset in a relationship with her husband over this very issue that you were just talking about, Susan. So let's all take a listen, because I think it sort of exemplifies, when it doesn't happen, the problem that can arise.
I just felt like I needed to give a call, because actually it's funny, my husband and I, we've been wrestling with this topic. I'm actually calling on a perspective from a daughter-in-law, and I have had some, my husband and I, we've been together 16 years. I know his family well. I have been very respectful of them. Even when things have been really hard, I've never, you know, gone against them or spoken up or anything like that. I've brought things up to my now husband, and he has a really hard time kind of showing me support. So that's caused a rift with us, because he doesn't want to, you know, dishonor his parents.
Yeah.
Or be disrespectful to them. And that's, I tell him, I'm not asking you to like go fight with them. I'm not asking you to go do this or that, but it makes me feel like I'm doing something wrong when your parents, mainly his mom, does things that are really hurtful. And now we have a son. We live really close, and so they make comments, you know, that like, "Oh, well, we don't see you anymore." And, you know, we're always saying, just, you know, call, or, you know, let us know if you, you know, want to come see him or if you want him to come over. But the comments are getting worse, and it's just when you took a caller and the woman was saying, she's talking about her son and then her daughter-in-law. She said, she doesn't like me.
Yeah.
And then she said, I think she's a believer. And she said, you know, and you're like, have you tried to talk to her? And she's like, no, she doesn't want to. I feel that daughter-in-law, I feel her pain mm-hmm. because I don't feel like sometimes, you know, we are being respected as daughter-in-laws or even sometimes the child even, because we are the children technically, but can't you respect me too? Because I don't know how you're feeling if you don't tell me. So if I'm telling you how I'm feeling, I'm putting myself out there, and it would be nice if it was reciprocated, because sometimes if you do say something, and that's what my husband, I think, is afraid of, he doesn't want them to then distance themselves from him.
Yeah.
It's just messy, and it's like, what do you do? Because I love them, I care about them.
Does your husband feel like he's in the middle?
Sometimes he does. I know he does, and I feel bad for him, you know, but there's been comments said, and it's really funny.
Yeah.
The comments are always said when he's not around.
Uh-huh.
So then I have to just sit there and chew on it, and I try to just let it go, you know, let it be, let it go. But after a while, it's like, you know, you set a boundary, and then now you're the bad person. So it's like, well, shoot, what do I do? You know, literally, what do you do?
How does this impact your marriage?
It impacts it very negatively. So, yeah. We actually have started some counseling, both of us separately, and then we're trying to do some couples, just because I don't want this to be a negative thing for us. You know, the other thing too is my family is very different. My parents are very different. They are very involved. They are very, you know, you can tell them anything, talk to them. So it's one of those factors too, where I was raised by different types of parents than he was, and they don't really talk about hard stuff. And my family does. We work things out. We talk about it. Even if it does create a little bit of a problem, you mm-hmm. still talk it out. His family does not.
Yeah.
You put it under the rug, you give it time, and it'll heal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't heal.
No.
So, you know, certain things don't heal. You know, I mean, sometimes space and time do, but in this situation, when I heard that mom say, oh, that my daughter-in-law, she doesn't want.
Yeah.
It's like, do you know that? Have you asked her? And that's how I feel. I try to have a relationship with my mother-in-law. I mean, we've even caught her in lies. And it's just, why? I don't understand. So I just keep trying to be
What is your
husband and kind.
Let me jump in with a question. What does your husband
sure.
tell you to do?
So he does tell me, and I appreciate it. He does tell me, I understand your feelings. I know it's hard. I appreciate how you keep taking our son over there to see them, how you keep trying. Like, I see that. I recognize it. Thank you. And that's basically it, because he knows how his mom is. She holds grudges, and there were some family issues with her family growing up, and you know, we don't want to hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you just don't want to say anything
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to hurt her. But then it's like, gosh, look what it's doing to us though.
Yeah. Listen, life is hard, and sometimes we make it harder than we ought to make it. And the fact that you talk about, we need to just be able to talk, is true. But you also pointed out that his family, his parents are different than your parents. And one of the things we all have to recognize is that when we go into an in-law relationship, and I often say that when your last name is in-law, that raises some questions right there, right? To be super understanding that they may not meet expectations. An expectation not met always creates a level of disappointment in a relationship. And so it's a really tricky thing. I'll tell you what, we only scratched the surface. Let's do this. Let's continue this discussion tomorrow on the show. But for those of you who would like to join in, call me now and we'll get this recorded so I can play them in tomorrow's show. What have you learned? What's one thing that's helped you in your relationship with your adult children or vice versa? Give us a call, 888-888-1717, and we'll get those recorded right now. Secondly, I promised to share with you six common sources of tension between parents and adult children, according to research. I didn't get to that. I promise we'll get to those tomorrow. So we'll try to get everything into the show. Here's the purpose. This is why intentional living is here. We want you to experience, in this case, your relationship with your adult son or daughter, or as adult kids, the relationship with your parents, the way God intended, with respect, peace, support, encouragement, because you're family. And I know that's not always possible. What would you contribute to the show today? 888-888-1717.
We've all been there. You have a difficult decision, and you want to know God's will, but where do you start?
I believe that God's will is not nebulous or vague. It's all revealed for you and for me in His Word. To know and live in God's will, you must know and apply the Bible to every situation.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled, Finding God's Will, he discusses some practical ways you can know what God's will is for your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message, along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, I want to just say one thing here in these last 30 seconds before we go into the closing theme. This ministry of Intentional Living is a part of Intentional Life Media and Family Life Radio. It's a part. It's a ministry within the ministry, because we have a passion for you all to experience hope. But one of the things we know is that you want to experience hope. It's not just guaranteed just because you want it. It's an ongoing process. We experience hope when we also are intentional in following Jesus Christ and what His Word says. Not in a way that... it's in a way that just builds into our lives. That's why we talk about the power of doing the next right one thing. For instance, today, if you want to experience life with your kids the way God intended, what one thing could you do in the next 30 days to improve that relationship for God's glory and your benefit? That's intentional living. I tell you what, calls are coming in. We're going to just wrap up the show live and then record for tomorrow. You can join us at 888-888-1717, and I'll get to those six common tension points between parents and adult children tomorrow as well. All right. Again, give us a call. Join in 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Amy today. Thank you for being a part of Intentional Living.